Then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along, and so you're back.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out doing some comedy in California. We've had a plethora of guest hosts, and none better than the one sitting to my right, Lance Zierlein, joining us. Appreciate him spending some time with us. Going to get down to some football, obviously, with Lance and some other things. As we start hour number two, we said what theme was for hour number one. So now you're on the clock for hour number two, peoples. The second quiz is upon you. We said it's progressively going to get a little harder. So Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, song number one there, if you want to play along. Checking the text, the tweets along the way, at Lance Zierlein, if you want to hit him up on Twitter as well. But I do want to give just a little bit of recognition, Nick. I'm not even sure you know this, but owe the guy to my right a lot for the fact that when I left the Rockets and was contemplating getting into this business, I reached out to Lance and got some advice, and the stuff that he told me was instrumental in me being able to pull this off. So without going into mushy details and whatever, you know that I appreciate you. So.
No, I do. I appreciate you saying that to me when you first got started, when I was off the air.
Yeah, so we've had a long-standing relationship. You were force-fed me on a regular weekly basis in certain
boy management loved having the 10 minutes of Rockets every week. I tell you, we had to fight to get Rockets talk. It was, you know, a lot of Rockets fans would get upset. All they do is talk Texans. Astros fans at this particular time weren't really fussing because there was nothing really to cover. But Rockets fans would get upset, and they didn't really realize that wasn't really our decisions as hosts.
No.
It was always the big push, and you'll hear it at 610, obviously, the big push is Texans. Well, the Rockets' continued level of success or consistency and the Astros doing what they've done has really changed how you cover it. But, you know, Rocket fans would get all fired up about the coverage, and I'm sure members of the Rockets in your own building would get upset about it. But some of that was beyond our control because we were kind of pushed to go in a certain direction, and it was like we believed in our building, a lot of the hosts believe that the Rockets, you know, I know that Rockets talk can sustain ratings. I've done it. I've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. I've made ratings bonuses off of it because when a team is good, it's just a younger demographic.
Hit on it right there. The team has to be good.
Yeah, no, with anything not with anything, but with the Rockets, team has to be good. With the Astros, team has to be good.
Yes.
But With the Houston Rockets, it's the demographic has changed. It's more diverse. It's younger. You have to know what your listenership is and what sports fans are, and it's different than what they were, you know, 10 years ago.
No
question. It's much different. Sometimes program directors, I don't think, fully recognize, because they don't deal with it as closely as we do on a regular basis, the changing face of sports, how sports change or how coverage of sports or how the fan base changes, unless you're out at Rockets game and you go, holy crap, you know, there's some really rabid fans out here who are a very diverse group. You have to go to Astros fans to see what the, you know, what does it look like? What do Astros fans look like? What's the demographic? What does it look like on social media? You got to know all this stuff nowadays where how we cover.
You do, and the thing is, we'd get it from both sides. You'd get it from management because obviously you guys could have a hot topic football related and have to stop right in the midst of a discussion to get Rockets talking.
That's true, yeah.
With Rockets guests.
Especially when it was like draft talk and it was Manziel and Clowney and all those guys. That was 14.
That was Khalil Mack.
And then you had, is that the year? No, that's not the year that the Astros. No, actually the Rockets were doing really well, ended up making the play, going to the Western Conference Finals. It was Josh Smith.
2015 was Western Conference Finals. 15 was Western Conference Finals.
14 into 15,
Right. Yep.
Well, wait a minute.
See, because here's the thing. I'd get it from the other side because you and I would have fun with it because I knew what you guys were going through, and I knew that a lot of times, and I completely respected the fact you had a good discussion on something else going on. So I'd get in, and I'd start flipping you a little bit of, you know, zingers on the VCR.
Right.
And, how you know, always watching tape and stuff like that. And then, of course, my phone would light up. Right. Why didn't you mention the ticket package? Why didn't you do that? Right. Well, because at some point, you got to make sure that you're catering to your listenership or you're going to lose it.
That's just it. You know, ultimately, when people listen to our shows, they want to hear certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know who you're. And once you weed out listeners, and like the Blitz, they do a certain kind of show.
Right.
You guys do a certain kind of show. Me and John do a certain kind of show. And you get listeners who get conditioned to listen to certain types of shows. And once you're on long enough, you condition listeners to this is kind of what we do and this is what you can expect. But, you know, one thing I do believe is that I do think people are starting to get hungry for Texans information now. It's been out of sight, out of mind when they were in West Virginia. What do you want
Absolutely.
To do? Rockets with Melo, that was a story. There's no question about
yeah.
it. Astros were but me and John were on the radio when Astros were an everyday topic that would run summer anyway. That was not a big deal. And then I did shows with hosts who were like, couldn't even fathom that Astros would ever be a topic and that no one cared about baseball. I'm like, dude, you have no idea. You just don't know because you haven't seen it.
Right. You just had to have the team on the field to live up to what you were expecting.
When your team wins, people flip out about it, period.
Well, that's what they're doing now. Or are they? Because it was the crazy thing was yesterday I brought up, why aren't more people panicking a little bit and looking in their rearview mirror that the A's are only two games out? And why are all the quotes from Correa and everybody else and Hinch, and obviously Hinch is a very calm guy and Randy McAvoy was talking about it, but the thing is, why aren't they saying or at least exploring the possibility of you may lose this division if you're
Same
not careful.
Same thing with the Rockets. When the Rockets won the first title, the second year, they just thought we'll flip the switch, and they happened to flip the switch.
They made a trade to do so, though.
Well, the Clyde thing, yeah, helped flip the switch.
Right.
But they did flip the switch from the sixth seed. I think Astros fans right now, and you know what? I almost will count myself in this if I'm being honest about it. I feel like once everyone gets back and they get back to hitting the ball, I think there's enough arms in the bullpen and the starting rotation that if they get healthy and start hitting, they're going to be really tough to beat again. I wouldn't make them the favorite, but I'm going to say they're going to be really tough to hit. So I'm not panicking yet, Joel, because I do think that they can flip a switch when they're at full speed. But that I might miss.
But you can't
George
screw
never
around
gets
because,
back
look,
to,
you're yeah. assuming all these guys are coming back, right? The Springer
right.
looks like he'll be back by Friday. That's good news.
Well, what do you mean by screw around?
Well, because right now, it's like everybody's talk is calmly, hey, we're going to be fine. But maybe you're not going to be fine. Because
You might not be fine.
I wrote an article even on SportsMap that says even if they are fine and they get everybody back, they should be exploring on the waiver deadline before the end of the month another bat, a veteran bat, because they've proven that the young guys that they thought were going to be
Tucker.
Tucker is not ready for prime time yet. Mm-mm. But look at the guys that they either traded for, drafted, and thought these are guys that are going to be our core guys or going to be contributors going forward. J.D. Davis can't hit in the major leagues yet. A guy a year ago that was untouchable because he was a five-tool player, Derek Fisher, has proved like some of those tools went by the wayside of the toolbox because he can't hit.
Right.
You know, Tyler White, inconsistent, has a couple of hits, can't hit. So Tony Kemp, who never could hit, is suddenly the guy that can hit. But when you get to the playoffs, whether it's a left fielder, Gattis came back to the means after he had a hot midsummer spurt. Overall, if you do want to be that team, that can either whether you flip the switch or not, but you're ready to be there and make waves when you're healthy and when you get to the playoffs, the most important time of the year, I think you need another bat.
Well,
I really
you know,
do.
So this team is going to win or lose based off of Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Correa, and I think Yuli. So that's how they're going to win or lose. But the way you win those game fives of the World Series, the way you win those games, the game two of the World Series, or game seven even. Yeah, is with the guys you don't expect. Marwin Gonzalez home run out of nowhere, or you know, you get Brian McCann with a home run. So I agree with you there. You know, you can say, well, we're only as good as we're going to be when we get healthy with our star players and core players. Well, that's true, except for the fact that if you really want to pull certain games out of your ass, It's that veteran
that's
that you didn't expect. Yeah,
but that's what
I would agree with
you
that.
Need more role players because look, the guy that given that Josh Reddick we would assume is a role player or a secondary type player.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year he led the American League in average at home, and because of that, in part, had a great regular season. Disappeared in the playoffs.
Nobody leads anything at home this year.
No, and at home they can't win games. As it is, losing nine in a row
that,
now.
Now, that concerns me.
But Reddick concerns me, too, because there's a guy you paid a lot of money to come in. Yeah, I'm never going to poo-poo on his defense. But offensively, it's a struggle, man. And you're like you said, with role players, I'm not saying go out and get a superstar. Go out give a
right.
lot. But get someone that's been there, done that, that's been a very steady force that can help you. because it's not as easy. Everybody else got better around them. That's why that they have the race that they have this year instead of running away with it. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. Lance is here for the duration now, as well as Nick and myself. We're going to continue to roll on. We'll get to a little football, too, with that little skirmish that happened in the practice between the Niners and the Texans today. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot more. We appreciate you along for the ride. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out, Lance is in, Nick's here, and I'm here as we continue with The Usual Suspects, hour number two of the three-hour show. If you missed it the way back Wednesday this week, you got to guess it. Each hour, we are doing a theme and the reason, and then and a reason why we picked the theme. A.J. Hoffman, amongst others, were the ones that got hour number one, but we said that would be the easiest. Now it gets progressively harder, at least a little bit. So we've got hour number two going on now.
Why was there a hour one theme of fighting?
Because of the practice today, the joint practice between the Niners and the Texans, DeAndre Hopkins got into a bit of a skirmish.
Jimmy Ward, right?
Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward stayed at practice. DeAndre was escorted from practice.
I'd heard that both of them got kicked out.
No, I heard Jimmy Ward stayed.
Is that right? Okay.
So then Bill O'Brien was, his typical Bill O'Brien, was going to give you the short answer, but he wasn't happy. Your take on that? I mean, obviously Bill's going to be Bill regardless with the quotes, and if he's having a bad day or whatever, he's not going to talk a lot about it. But when
do you have sound of it here?
I haven't heard it yet. Nick can get it.
Might be on the team website. I know this. I was at practice yesterday, and the question he was asked is, Coach, there's been a lot of stuff going on in joint practices. How do you keep that from happening? He goes, well, Kyle Shanahan and I talked, and we both came to an agreement that we need to make sure we keep our guys under control. It's important. You know, it's important to get your practice stuff in, blah, blah, blah. And because whoever asked the question said, obviously, I think it was Bob Slovac, said, obviously, there were some issues in Richmond, Virginia with the Redskins. And remember,
when the Texans got into it, it was with the Redskins.
That was Hop that was involved in the middle of that thing, too. So, DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know how his helmet was taken off when he made the catch. I don't know how he didn't have a helmet on during the catch.
Right.
But for him to start that melee with no helmet on really concerned me. Because it looked like San Francisco 49ers players were going after him on the way down. Dude, no helmet, that really concerned me. That's no good.
The play itself, you can't have it. But then the rebuttal afterwards is, if you want to start throwing haymakers or start talking trash, someone's going to throw something and you're going to get hit in the dome.
You can't lose that guy.
Right.
You can't lose that guy for any amount of time. So that's disappointing to happen, but obviously DeAndre Hopkins is a very fiery competitor. We see it every time he matches up with Jalen Ramsey,
right.
Two of the most fiery guys, probably two of the most fiery guys in the entire division. One plays corner and one plays wide receiver, and they square off twice a year.
And they talk a lot.
They talk a lot, but I think they've developed a mutual respect for each other. But man, I did not like to see DeAndre Hopkins in the middle of a fight with no helmet on.
And you understand
all where
O'Brien's coming from with Shanahan, simply because you look at what happened with the Jets and the Redskins. You look at the fact that, look, we're already getting to the dog days, camp's long, still, you know, games don't mean anything. Guys want to see guys in other uniforms, and they want to start hitting people. But even the Jacksonville situation, with the media shooting the video when all that went down, and you got guys going at their own team, you got guys going at other teams. It's just, this is the way it gets heated up, and you obviously it's a preemptive strike by O'Brien to say we don't want that to happen. But then when it happens, you got to either put up or shut up and live up to what you said and do something about it.
And that's why he kicked him out.
But right.
I tell you what, I think the NFL, I think coaches would love to have controlled practices 2 days. You know, for 3 different weeks, instead of having preseason games, have controlled scrimmages for the week of what would have been week two of the preseason
right.
for week three, which would be week two, and then week four of the preseason, which turns into, you know, week three of padded practices. I think they would love to see either one team, two, or maybe even one each week, where you had controlled scrimmages, you could control the pace, the tempo, working on things. I think they would love to do that. The problem is, more and more of these fights are going to take place, and somebody's going to get hurt, and then the argument's going to be, you can't have this. Which is it? You want to have extra preseason games, which the owners are never going to give it up anyway. But I think in a perfect world, you want the scrimmage-type stuff against competition.
No doubt, because that's how you're evaluating your players, against competitive players from another team. You're not joined by the same locker room and the same all the different things, and you want to see how they stack up because that's what you're evaluating. I put it on the rundown. I talked about it previously on this show. I think, and I, like you said, the owners are, it's a cash cow, the preseason. If you buy season tickets, you have to pay for the preseason whether you like it or not or use them or not, and the owners love that free money. But I think that they should go down to two preseason games. I'm not even going to go to the other side of it and say there should be two more regular season games, because that's when you get guys that get hurt another way and then they're not ready for the playoffs and the stretch run. But I'm with you. More padded practices, because I talked about it with Randy yesterday. The way they monitor, you know how it used to be, and even when your dad was coaching, it was two-a-days and tough two-a-days and hitting in the two-a-days.
Coaches miss the teaching aspect of that. I don't know that you have to have two-a-days, but what the coaches liked, it wasn't about all this, like, that's what makes you tough, and it's Bear Bryant, and you can't have water, and you take salt pills, and all blah, blah, blah. It's really about they got to need as much time as possible to coach these players who play a sport that's increasingly not looking like NFL football. College football is about speed,
right,
tempo, quick passes sideways. It looks different than the NFL, even though we see some things that are carrying over to the NFL. And so technique is not taught as much as certain positions. And the coaches are like, we need time. Since they're taking away some of the OTA and practice, we got to have teaching time with players. We've got to, so we can teach them technique and get done.
And then have the time on the field after you teach them to make sure against competition where they can implement it and they can add it to their skill set, because there's no doubt about it. You watch what's going on. And the other thing, too, it goes back to the Jacksonville situation where the open media time, people are going to shoot in the media, they're going to shoot what's on the field. Mm-hmm. And if a fight breaks out, that's fair game. Randy McAvoy talked about it yesterday. But at the same time, you get these guys, because even bloggers now are, in their minds, media members and they're experts. But the interesting thing, and I saw this happen in several camps early on, was you're looking at matchups when they're doing the one-on-one drills with the wide receivers and the D-backs.
Yeah.
And a D-back is reading or seeing the tweets or seeing the video posted, and the commentary by the blogger or the writer says so-and-so got cooked by the receiver that did this. And the defensive backs had a great rebuttal saying, did you ever think that we were working on implementing new techniques? And before we try it in a game to find out if it really works and it can be effective to help my team, I'm going to experiment at practice with it to see if I'm capable of doing it and if when I do it, it's effective. If it is, then I'll implement it. If it's not, it looks like what you shot on video, but yet the first thing you say is, I'm a step slow, I should be cut, or I don't have it anymore. You don't get it, is what
the problem
is.
You're talking about the Richard Sherman stuff?
Not even Richard Sherman.
So Richard Sherman had video that Kyle Shanahan had out there, and then people are like, oh my God, Richard Sherman can't run. Richard Sherman got cooked by Marquise Goodwin. And he went out of his way to use it as a teachable, as a teachable moment. I'm talking about Shanahan. And then Shanahan went on to say, I'm not worried about Richard Sherman. He's early in camp. He's not a speed guy. He was working on some things with press coverage. And because if Richard Sherman doesn't get his hands on you on a speed guy, he's in a lot of trouble. So they'd probably in a game, but they weren't having safety coverage over the top. They were just doing one-on-one stuff. Richard Sherman's not going to win that battle against this Olympic
Green Bay and a couple other camps where
Josh Jackson had some issues.
Well, and Kevin King, they were talking about him because he was trying some things. And some of the veterans came to the defense as well and said, hey, look, we're all in preseason mode, so we're trying stuff. We're learning stuff. And because of how limited we are when we're actually on with contact and doing things in game-like situations,
right,
we're trying things to see if we can use them in games and finding out real quick if we can or we can't. But don't put it out there like I got my ass cooked.
That's what to me is interesting about. That's why I don't pay attention to results for pitchers in spring training, because I've had enough baseball people say, you may have a pitcher who just is working all day long on curveball or working curveball off a changeup or working fastball off a change. They're specifically, and they're less worried about the results than they are about the process.
Right.
And they say don't get too caught up in results of spring training for pitchers.
No, no doubt about it. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're at the midway point already. God, Lance, it feels like you just got here. We're going to continue to roll on with the second half of the big show. No problem if you want to get in. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Right now, I'll tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a great job. They're locally owned and operated, and they really want to build a relationship with you here in the Houston area, whether you use them for business or for your home needs. When you need electricity, when you need power, you need to go to Infuse Energy. And it starts from the fact that when you call, you don't get an automated system. You get a live human being on the phone. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and how they can tailor make a plan, program, and rate for you so that you get the best from them. In most cases, they can help you and help you immediately. In some cases, they're actually going to be honest enough to tell you there's someone out there that has better rates and a better deal than we do if you're interested in that, because they want to be 100% honest, they want to be upfront, and they want to be like a trusted friend, because maybe you don't use them this time, but you'll go back to them because you remember that they were open, upfront, honest with you, and weren't trying to pull the wool over your eyes. That's the way they want to do it, because they're Houstonians. They want people in Houston to use them because they feel good about them. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit and let the process go from there. Whether you go online at infuseenergy.com or you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732. Either way, they're going to take care of you, they're going to talk to you, and they're going to set you up. It's Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the show. Welcome back. We appreciate you. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. We always let Nick say that when he wants to. He just didn't feel like it today, I don't think. Right, Nick?
Well, I wasn't paying attention. You guys were on a roll.
You always bring 90 in the rear into it, and then it makes it awkward. So we normally just
That's why we leave it up to you, man. I shouldn't say that stuff.
Second half of the show, Lance, Nick, myself. Again, hour number two, way back Wednesday. If you want to guess the theme, you guys are getting closer. Still no one got it yet. And again, not only the theme, but why we picked it. Hour number one was obviously fighting theme with D-Hop and the practice today with the Niners. So we'll continue on that front. I don't like to be like Barry in regards to the Twitter line, but 832 ending in 0631. Before we give out your whole phone number, you are now officially blocked. You've been at this for a while. You need to get a life.
What's
and a
he
mirror.
Doing?
Oh, my God. Just personal shots and attacks and everything like that. And
he hides behind the keyboard. Are you on the text line? Do you
I don't ever use it.
So you don't even look at it?
No. You won't look at it. Raheel won't Twitter. Look at it. They just.
I guess we could. I mean, we got Twitter that I mess with.
That's interactive enough, I guess, for you.
Yeah. Raheel just. He even
sounds
said,
like text goes, line's fun.
It's a bunch of a-holes that.
Why
like,
are you messing with text line then?
Because for the most part, we get a lot of great text.
You said it's a bunch of a-holes.
But there's a. Look, for all the great texts we get, there are a bunch of a-holes that, because their life sucks, they want to take it out on us.
And you blocked them?
Yeah.
From the text line.
Yeah. So no, he will never be heard from again. It's
in
fantastic.
In any of the shows.
Yeah, no. Neither will you, Lance. That's. Yeah. So when they block people, then you can't or John.
So
or,
your boy won't be able to reach out and touch you either. Yeah. I'm actually doing you a favor.
That's fine. You know who I'm having on my show? Tomorrow, Daryl Morey at 7:30 is going to join us, talk about Carmelo and the other stuff like that. Eric Layden, who I do the off-script podcast from L.A., is going to do it from his home in L.A., so 5 a.m.
Has he joined you before? Because I think I've heard him on
He's been in studio, and then he did it a couple of weeks ago.
By remote.
I've got a hookup where you can basically do it from an iPad with studio quality. It's unbelievable.
I've heard you do that at some of your NFL things. It worked out well.
Yeah, it did. It did. I've got it hooked up where as long as you're hooked up with
Nick, it's like, oh, you Mike. It was 50-50. I've heard one good one and I heard one that sounded like he was broadcasting from a toilet.
No. Now that was when I was using the when I was using the what's called
the equipment from here.
But you got to have it hooked up with an Ethernet connection, and it can be perfect. Okay. But here's the thing: so Daryl Morey's going to join me. Eric Layden is going to be my co-host tomorrow, Friday. Jason Brown from Independence Community College, the team and the head coach who are featured on Last Chance U on Netflix documentary.
Yep.
Season 3, he is going to be on the show. He got a little pissy. He slid into my DMs today about Frank Diaz, who was his quarterback coach, who was, you know, just frankly just got bullied by Jason Brown. It was, I mean, his coach, I've never seen anything like it. And we had Frank Diaz on, and Frank Diaz, you know, I mean, he said his perspective on how things went. So
I heard
left.
I heard you guys talking the other day.
Yeah, and Jason Brown went into my direct messages. I just shows up out of nowhere and says, this is what he says. You guys should probably not listen to the guy that got fired, but maybe just the guy who fired him. I don't know. Makes sense to me. But hashtag truth shall set you free. I said, well, we all have perspectives, everyone. We saw what we saw. I said, I come from a coaching family. Not how I think it's done, personally. I said, after interview, a woman named Jackie called in and just ripped you up and down because she said she had personal knowledge of promises you made to her and her family in the past. I don't know who the prospect was. She didn't say, yada, yada, yada. He goes, no. I said, but if you want to come on the show to defend yourself, I'd love to have you on. He said, no need to defend myself. Frank Diaz is a liar, and so is whoever called you. But I'll come on and tell the truth, as I always do tell. So tomorrow or Friday at 8:30 a.m., and I'm going to hit him with some, you know, my real opinions of this.
Will he follow through?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he loves this attention.
Okay.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Now, the question is not will he follow through. The question is how often, because Dell's not going to be here. So I've got a producer. I don't even know who the producer is. This may be too much for this producer.
It's not Tyler.
We need to flip
it
and get
Harrison?
Tyler. No, it's not Harrison. No, it's not Harrison. It's a young guy from the overnight or something.
Michael?
Yeah, Jacob, you're gonna have to have someone on their Michael, P's and Q's. Michael is overnight guy.
Michael Hernandez.
Young guy, it's him.
Yep, Michael Hernandez.
Can he handle it? Jason Brown is gonna mother bleep us. Like, there's a chance he's gonna have to get raw with the dump button. And Tyler can. I'm not worried about Tyler.
Oh, so you're just worried about the dump button.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. He can handle the dump button.
But you need to encourage people then to get it on the stream and on the app so that they get the uncensored version.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise, it's gonna sound like dead air if he keeps dropping them off.
No doubt. But I gotta press him on. I think you don't treat people the way he treated him on this documentary. You gotta see it. He's MFing his coaches. One coach almost fights him on the field during a game against Dodge City.
I heard you guys talking about it the other day.
It's bad. I've never seen anything like this. And you go to his Twitter page, that's the way you're supposed to coach. That's what, like, you dumbasses don't know anything. Like, for real. People are stupid. People are really, for real, dumb who have no idea. They think that just yelling and screaming and he choked one of his own coaches when he was a offensive coordinator. Man, that's the kind of dog we need. Are you? That's what you think makes a good coach? That's why it makes me laugh when people used to get so mad at Astros. Oh, they need a coach who's going to throw things around and punch people in the nuts and do all this stuff. Or you could get A.J. Hinch, the exact opposite of that, who's smart, who's patient,
even-keeled,
who understands how to handle things, and you win a World Series. I don't know. Maybe that works, too.
Well,
you got Bill O'Brien will yell and scream you down, but you don't like that. But then you want a coach that will do that in another sport. And
but
I mean,
you didn't like Kubiak when he was more laid back and protecting his players.
It's just people want something that whatever they have, they don't want. They want something else.
Bo Porter was supposed to be the disciplinarian, too.
Yeah, but Bo stepped into a bad situation. There was not talent on that roster.
Both sides, but Bo wasn't innocent either.
Yeah.
On both sides of the equation.
No, no, no. Bo was a former football player, college football player. Speaking of, Bill Spires, you remember Bill Spires?
Was the punter for Clemson.
He's on the Clemson football staff.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's on the Clemson football staff as a coach right now.
He was an outfielder for the Astros.
Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, had a long career.
Really good Astro.
Yeah.
Really good Astro.
And he was also the punter on the football team. Darren Erstead was too. Darren Erstead was also a punter.
Nebraska.
Yep, that's exactly right. And he married his wife, Jessica, who was working at U of H.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, while, because he was an Astro as well.
You know what I like is that Joel knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yep.
And with the Rockets.
Yep.
Do you ever tell where the bodies are buried at all?
Depends on who you are and when I'm talking.
But when the microphones are on, do you ever
maybe
tell you
sometimes.
The
Nick knows, you know, if you get me in the right frame of mind, I'll drop
all some. Right. So where do you stand on the James Harden TMZ video? Now, a lot of people would just say, big deal, James Harden didn't want some lady having a cell phone videotape and all that stuff. And yeah, she took $500 from James, still sold to TMZ. I'm not saying she's any kind of great shakes, but at some point, people do have to recognize that he can't keep putting them. Like, I'm just waiting
Lance,
for him to settle down
has
a
to
little
recognize.
Bit.
Yeah. He has to recognize. We saw a lot of the maturation of James Harden in the last couple of years. We saw from run from it, have someone else deal with it, both with the team, with Dwight Howard's situation and otherwise, to off the floor with...
What do you mean with Dwight Howard's situation? What do you mean?
You really want to do this, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I don't know.
I mean, look, I've said this many times even on this show. They were oil and water. There was a line drawn in the middle of the locker room saying...
When did this happen?
And you had to pay. Again, because we'll get back to another topic that you and I have been hot on, me in the past, you recently, in terms of bloggers and Twitter and social media and people right. that think they're experts and then they want to tell you what to do and what not to do. There's a lot of people that hated the fact that I said Trevor Ariza was a great locker room guy.
Why?
Because they say, oh, that's just a media term. You guys don't even, there's no value in that.
That's not a lot of guys. You might have had one dummy saying that on Twitter. How would anybody know better than you would know?
And several people, so I basically said, I don't have to tell you anything more than I've told you. I didn't have to tell you that, but I'll tell you this. That 2015 team we were talking about that got to the Western Conference Finals, without Trevor Ariza and Jason Terry to a lesser extent in that locker room and in those coaches' meetings and in those team meetings, that team not only doesn't get to the Western Conference Finals, it may not get to the playoffs.
Well, you know better than anybody.
Yep.
You were there. You know all this. I said, Joel knows where the bodies are buried on this stuff.
Yeah. So. And on the James front, the thing is, if you did, you had to learn, okay, regardless of the maturation process and where you are on that whole timeline and where he's gotten to, the bigger thing is learn from the Moses Malone Jr. situation. Learn from it. Go forward with being a better person, handling
Nothing
your
to
business
see here.
A better
Nothing
way.
Nothing to see here.
Right. If Tad Nothing Brown picks here. Up the phone and tells you it's not news, chances are it is news. Stay out of the news. If you went through the situation with Moses Jr. and you know how that played out, whether you were involved or not, it was a bad look. Don't get involved in another situation like that where TMZ has something to talk about. Did you realize, by the way, TMZ had two Rocket stories yesterday? They had that one. And they got Carmelo Anthony getting into his car talking about Mike D'Antoni and coming off the bench, and he was quick to say, slow your roll on both
Do we
of
have
them.
That? I'd like to hear that one.
We've got it. Yeah, we'll get it after the break. It's because it's TMZ, it's a little bit more hard to hear, but we'll walk you through it. But we got plenty more to get
Carmelo!
To.
Carmelo! You mean the guy who's just trying to stir it up with the
cameraman?
Dude,
I love that sweatshirt. Hey, what about you and D'Antoni? You guys going to beef? All right, we'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Knee-deep hour number 2, 3-hour show. Great to have Lance Zierlein in studio with us as we continue to roll on. We are way back Wednesday and today, as we always do, but unlike other weeks, when each of us submits a list for an hour, we have a vote, we do those things. From time to time, we make it a little bit more interactive with the listeners. So today, we thought we'd be doing one of those days because Barry's out. So essentially, it is, you guessed the theme and why we picked it. Hour number one was fight-themed because of DeAndre Hopkins fighting with the Niners today. Hour number two is still going on, so we're not going to give it away yet. But if you missed any of it, check the podcast. You can catch up. And no one has got it yet, have they, Nick? Except for... Is there one person that got it?
Derek Ferguson has been pretty accurate and close to it in terms of the first 2 hours.
Derek Ferguson, well done. If not, we won't spoil it for anybody else.
Cody Armstrong was on the right track, and so was Hip Hop Hercules. They were both on the right track.
There you go. All right, so we'll continue.
I don't know any of those guys.
That's good.
They don't tweet at
each of the shows has their own.
We're talking about,
like, you have Gilbert. We
no, let's stop putting Gilbert on us as, like, the Gilbert.
Okay.
We don't want Gilberts.
John, okay. John, I got to ride my bike now.
Did you hear Gilbert's sports flash? I was off the air. Gilbert had a sports flash
yesterday.
Like
an update?
Oh, it was good.
That was on the bench or where?
Yeah, it was on. You might want to check the system.
I'll
check Podcast Arena. It was John. Yeah, John Dell. And I don't know how it happened. I wasn't on. I just know that somehow Gilbert one time did a live read for Klein's Fine Jewelers. He just asked if he could do one. Like, yeah. I mean, it was
that had to have been the funniest thing ever.
It was one of the best things I've ever heard. Gilbert Sports Flash and the timing to get out when the music ends. The one that he did is pretty good too. Look in Podcast Arena. I bet it's there somewhere. Gilbert Sports Flash. If
Gilbert
not,
greater than Z Dog?
No, Gilbert. I call him the Big Relentless. No, because Gilbert has had some protective orders put on him.
I can see that.
Yeah, nothing that's dangerous. He's just. He's too extra. That's all there is. I mean, Gilbert is just extra on everything. He was a prime social, and he told Steve, the one of the big managers there, Gilbert brought his bike in, and the guy goes, "You can't have your bike here in the middle of the poker table."
The bike is in the middle of a lot of controversy.
Yeah, he goes, "Why can't I?" He goes, "Well, can we just park it over there?" He goes, "Fine." He goes, and Steve's walking away. He goes, "Hey, you're the manager of this place?" He goes, "Yes, I am." He goes, "Yeah, bring me a Coke." He goes,
same thing.
He said, "Bring me a Coke."
Joel mentioned that the other day.
I did. We were at Texas Grill Shop over on the north side.
Yeah.
He shows up. And, you know, they're obviously grilling because they want people to show what the grills can do and how the different variations of food and whatever like that. So first he starts asking me and Barry, like, where can he get to the next park and ride for his bike to get the bus when he needs to get back and stuff? And we don't know. He goes, "Okay." He goes, anyways, watch my bike. I'll put it right here. He goes, "Hey, you, who are you?" He goes, "Hey, you, anyways, I want a barbecue sandwich. I want lots of barbecue sauce, a lot of onions. Make it for me now. Make it on a bun."
Yeah,
okay.
Give me a Coke.
Gilbert, that's the manager of the store. And he goes, "Anyways, do what I said on the sandwich and make it quick because I got to get my bike and I got to get back going." And I'm going, he's giving everyone orders.
In Gilbert's last call, he told us he got arrested because somebody beat him up because he was in a hurry. So he grabbed their bike and threw it off the bike.
On the bus.
On the bus. You've heard
the
this.
Front,
yeah.
No, I know what you're talking about because he
yeah,
talked
he threw
to
it
us
off,
about it. Yeah.
And somebody jumped him, and then Gilbert said he got arrested. He had just gotten out of jail, which doesn't feel true. He's told us that he was dying before, which was not accurate.
So the bike's involved
at
Prime Social.
He's not 100% accurate.
He said he's been dying before. Like, he's dying?
Yeah, and then he admitted he was lying. Like, "Yeah, this is the last time I probably ever call you."
The weird thing is he looks totally
you
normal.
Promise.
If he doesn't talk, he looks fairly normal.
Yeah.
On the remotes or whatever, right? So the bike is in the middle of everything because the bike was in the middle of yours.
Yeah.
Bike's in the middle of mine.
Bike's always in the middle.
Bike was in the middle with Granado when it got stolen.
Uh-huh.
It's always with the bike. That's another weird thing. But I've heard the things he said about Granado's wife, Wendy. And
they had a promo about it.
Oh, my God. That dude. And I thought OU Mike was bad. Do you guys get OU Mike calls, or is that too early for him?
No, he does. I'm not usually when I'm there. It's usually afterwards. Yeah, I think it's a little too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a problem.
Well, because that's the other thing. You realize when we have the listener party how many cool people there are that actually follow the show and to put a face with a name. And then there's a select few where, regardless of how interactive they are, when you meet them in person for the first time, you're like, they're not all there.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Like, when you sit down and talk to Trey, you may look at him and think he's not all there. Or you hear some of the things he says and you think, but when you meet him, you're like, no, that's a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Trey's a good dude.
Yeah, but there's some others that you're like, I don't know.
I actually thought the listeners were pretty
that was
solid
great.
At the listener
party. At the
party,
they really were. But you Gilbert stalked you.
Yeah.
Because until you
came Gilbert,
over here,
Gilbert, if you
here,
say you go to the Super Bowl, no, I've had to take so many calls off the air. Michael Connor would be like, "Lance, Gilbert wants to talk to you, so I just got to go on." If I don't do it,
but that's on
he'll
you.
Just keep calling. I know, it's feeding the stray cat,
yeah.
But because I know he'll just keep calling and calling and calling. And there was like a year and a half where I didn't hear from Gilbert, and I lost him in the divorce when I left 15-16. I was like, "That's fine, I'll take listeners. You can have Gilbert." Okay, I thought it was a fair trade,
right.
And and so I was on side so answer the phone. "Hey, yeah, you going to New York for a Super Bowl anyway?" You're like, "Yeah, He goes, "Bring back. I want a mug. I need a jacket. I need a program. I need whoa. hey, you, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, I can't bring it. He goes, yeah, 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 bring that anyway. I said, no, I'm not going to, I can't buy, that's pretty expensive. Yeah, yeah, buy that. And he goes, you ever watch, what's this show that was on HBO for years with Lynn Dawson? It was a football show.
Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL. Right. He goes, yeah, I need an Inside the NFL mug. I'm like, why are you telling me this? What am I, your Amazon? I'm not
You're
getting...
Gilbert's bitch.
Yeah, he was acting like I'm his bitch. Do I look like a bitch, Gilbert? Then why are you trying to treat Mr. Zerline like a bitch? Why do I got to get... I'm not Mrs. Wallace.
So, Nick, we think about this. At least OU Mike's not asking us for stuff.
No, you Mike, he never really shows up to remotes. We try to get him to show up at the listener party.
And if you think you're going to do something cool for Gilbert, which is great, because we have lots of times... It's never enough. Like you're always,
he doesn't appreciate it.
He's like
it.
The dad that is constantly disappointed. Oh, yeah. Here, Gilbert, here's your sack of egg rolls from Carol. He loves the egg rolls at China Garden. John brought him, like, Carol brought him, like, 12. It's fresh.
These things are massive, by the way.
Yeah, they're enormous. They're fresh. They're like the grease is coming through the brown paper sack. It's beautiful. And Gilbert's like, how many egg rolls are in here? Like, oh, it's 12. Like, he thought he'd be excited. Yeah, I gave 14 anyway. 14? What are you talking about? I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry I didn't measure up. We told him it was 12. Like, yeah, I gave 14 anyway. We got him a bike. Sun and Ski had his bike stolen. Yeah. We did a 610. We were 610. We happened to be a Sun and Ski. They gave him a bike there. He got the bike. Goes, yeah, it's a great bike. And like, all right, well, great, Gilbert. So he takes he gets on the radio, says something, goes off, rides around, whatever, comes back, goes, yeah, I need a new helmet. I need to get these wheels changed out. Like, what?
Oh,
it's brand
God.
New bike. What are you talking
about?
I'm
going to go to the remotes just to meet Gilbert.
When do you cut him off?
I mean, I prefer to cut him off earlier than later.
And then he followed John. And then when it was reunited, the Peaches and Herb tour, when you guys got back together, now it was like he's relentless.
Yeah, no, he always was. I mean, John got him on a field and met Roger Clemens. You can still find it on YouTube where Gilbert went on the field. John got him into Minute Maid Park where he met Roger Clemens and Bagwell. I mean, it was one of the nicest things anyone's ever done. And Gilbert, the disappointed dad, just like 6 months later, is like, I need to go see the Texans anyway. You need to get me in to see the Texans. Go talk to the Texans. Go talk to Gary Kubiak. And like, Matt, no, I don't know if it was Gary Kubiak or maybe it was David Carr back then because Roger Clemens was still on. So it's been about 2005. So he was like, it wasn't good enough. That was a special moment. Anyone would kill to meet Biggio and Bagwell, get to talk to Roger Clemens on tape. You can see it on tape. Yeah. Do you have it?
No, not yet.
Oh, 60 seconds. Oh, weird. Yeah. You can find it on YouTube if you want. And John's like, what do you think? What do you think? Gilbert is Roger Clemens. Yeah, that's pretty cool anyway. And then he's like, when are you going to get me into the Texans? What? Can we just appreciate that
not
you're
gracious,
on the
not
field of Minute Maid Park, a private ceremony, the Astros welcomed him in. He's like, where's my Texans
Our
thing?
Peeps aren't like that. Our peeps are just supportive, like good jockey underwear. They just support. They don't ask for anything in return. That's what we love about them. And we wanted OU Mike to show up, and he teased us the entire way. And even said he went to the dry cleaner and got his clean overalls. And then last minute, he couldn't show. He couldn't do it. All right, we're going to wrap things up in hour number two. Get ready for hour number three. Hour number two, if you wanted to know, it's all about climbing out of the slump and coming back, not giving up, like your Astros who need to do that now. That's hour number two. Hour number three, right around the corner as we start to simulcast. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.